The reason I am recording this is that in my activity as a book club leader, I often find that some people have trouble with certain difficult books. I want to give some clues that might get these reluctant readers a bit more motivated about books they might give up. And today I want to talk about a especially difficult book, which is To the Lighthouse by Virginia Woolf. Well, modernist narrative is not a piece of cake. It's not very easy to grasp. Gertrude Stein, the American modernist writer, said, "Nothing changes from generation to generation except for the things seen." She emphasizes that the way we look at things is what changes. And this sentence is really relevant for what we are going to do in trying to understand To the Lighthouse. In modernist fiction, there is very little action. We've got the evocative nature of language. And if there is no action, there must be reflection. The main aim of the modernist artist is to give us a view of reality as a whole, as multiple as possible. And I would say this is the major problem of a novel, for example, like To the Lighthouse. The traditional view of reality, as it was in the 19th century novel, was that we could touch reality, that it was real. But novelists in the modernist period reflect a life that is chaotic, a life that is fragmented, and as readers, to have a piece of fiction which is made up of fragments is more difficult than reading a novel that has a clear beginning, a development, and a clear end. I would say that the term narrative does not apply just to novels. We refer to other styles of writing as well. We could consider myth as narrative. We find narrative in myth and in history. Myths tell stories. And the difference when approaching modernist novels is that you find a puzzle. You have a puzzle in front of you and you have to find the pieces and put them in a certain way to find meaning. So we could ask ourselves to start with, what coherence are we to find in modernist authors? I would try to answer that by saying that there is an interaction between book and reader. The book is not telling us everything, telling us a story and giving us a clear end. We have to do something. We have to try and understand what is there. And this requires an effort on the part of the reader. And this is what most of the time makes people disappointed. Let's try to approach To the Lighthouse step by step. The title, To the Lighthouse. There is a preposition at the beginning, which is not the most normal way to start a title. There is implicit in the title the idea of going somewhere. I would say that the emphasis Woolf wants to make is that we are going somewhere instead of arriving or instead of being. There is a journey. And To the Lighthouse implies the sea. It is a trip through the sea, which has got mythical implications. The lighthouse, then, we've got the lighthouse as a symbol which throws light. We could maybe understand the lighthouse as some kind of rationality. Because when we get to part two, we see that the whole book is about the ideas of light and darkness, of life and death. And the light of the lighthouse is seen in longer and shorter flashes. So there can be a parallelism between these, the short flashes and the longer one, and the structure of the book. We actually have three parts, the first one happening in one day, the second one happening in 10 years, and the third one happening again in one day. It's like short flash, long flash, short flash. Then there is also the idea that it is very easy to die, that life is really fragile. And in the last chapter, there is also the relationship that life has with art. One of the first things we see in the novel is the complex relation between art and life. But let's talk about the second chapter. The second chapter is called Time Passes. There is a sudden shift of perspective, and an omniscient narrator appears and takes charge of the narrative. Everything is invaded by darkness. Everything is wasteland. We've got, for example, the image of the shawl. In the first chapter, the shawl was a symbol. It was something that gave security to the child to come. In the second chapter, the same object is now a symbol of decay. I would say decay is the word to understand the second chapter. Wolf explores to the full how fragile life is, how many people have died, how much the house is destroyed or decayed. And then, in the last chapter, in chapter 3, The Lighthouse, we've got like two actions happening at the same time. There is Mr. Ramsay landing, and there is Lily Briscoe finishing her painting. So we've got there like the idea of reaching a goal. This would be the thing that connects both actions. If we were to approach this book, this novel, with kind of post-structuralist approaches. I know this sounds a bit snob, but I always like to try this post-structuralist approach and to try to disconnect things from one another and try to understand them as symbols. Well, according to post-structuralism, meaning is not a fixed thing, due to the fact that reference points can be turned into fluid things. And if we apply this to the lighthouse, we see that the lighthouse is not a definite symbol. It changes. In the very first page, we can see it as an object of desire. James wants to go to the lighthouse. At this stage, it means a day trip by boat, a day trip for a child. The lighthouse means something clear in this case. It's a place a little child wants to go to. But it means something different for each character. It can stand for light that illuminates the way. It can bring rationality or order. It can be the item that saves sailors' lives. And well, it can be other things that readers could see there. The lighthouse can mean different things when seen from different perspectives. And this is what modernist fiction is about. The idea of the variety of views is going to shed light into this reading we are doing. And specifically when trying to see how the plurality of meanings is constantly being performed. Wolf plays with polysemy. She uses words repeatedly. The shawl, the stroke, the wave, the brush. She's constantly using words in a way that sound and reverberate. We have one meaning and then we've got another, and there are different layers of meaning. Once a word as a sign is used to signify two or more different things, we realize that the prevalent meaning of the word has been decentralized. And therefore, well, here is what I was saying at the beginning, this post-structuralist approach, like we have a reference point, but the reference point can be removed, and then we have to find meaning somewhere else. Well, if we think for a moment about Lily Briscoe, Lily is painting, she's trying to find meaning in art, and we are told that as she brushed her hair, well, the brushes have been all the time paint brushes, and now the brush is suddenly a hairbrush. So we've got this example of shifting meanings. This example could be an unimportant thing as far as the meanings do not lead us to great misunderstanding. We all know what a paintbrush is. We know what a hairbrush is. But anyway, it is a demonstration of how Virginia Woolf plays with words in order to shed light into various meanings of one same word. On the one hand, she could be doing that just for the pleasure of playing with words. I can understand that. I like doing that when I write. But on the other hand, it could be performed in order to make the reader think of the words themselves and the meanings that we attach to them. All the different signifieds relate to words and evoke something. So when we get frustrated because we are not understanding the story, we could also think about the words and think about the feelings these words create. Then another example, the stroke, for example. In chapter one, we see that the lighthouse is a central device that flickered strokes of light. Then Mrs. Ramsay was sitting by the window looking at the lighthouse, which flickered strokes of light. Two short ones and a long one. In this passage, we've got Mrs. Ramsay, but in chapter three, we've got Lily Briscoe, who makes strokes on her canvas. She made her first quick, decisive stroke. The brush descended. It flickered brown over the white canvas. It left a running mark. A second time she did it, a third time. So we have here the flashes of the lighthouse, the second time, the third time. Exactly as the lighthouse previously did, Lily repeats her movements in chapter 3. The multiple meanings of the word stroke are very malleable and let the writer create an ambiguous text, but at the same time a rich one. The lighthouse flickers strokes of light. The painter makes strokes on her canvas. And we can hear the strokes of our heart while reading this paragraph, for example. Yeah, some key words in the text are polysemic. And this is what makes understanding the book a bit difficult, because we tend to want clear things. We want to be in charge of understanding. We want to master what we have. And I think this is not the way to understand modernist books, because they've got shifting meaning, and then you have to go chasing them. Well, I know this was a bit of a chaotic speech, but I hope it can help you understand to the lighthouse and maybe decide to continue reading or just to start reading it. Thank you very much for listening.